Welcome back to Gracie Meets. Are you tech savvy? A lot of teens like us are because of all the new technology we're thinking of every year. The tech industry is growing, which means more businesses are making professional websites to promote their product or service. Most companies hire people called web developers. These are the people who build and code websites. I've invited Mr. Keith Solomon, the web developer who designed My Gracie Meets website, onto the show today to tell us more about web development. Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
I build websites. A lot of what I do involves taking designs that are basically just static images in Photoshop and cutting them up and coding them into HTML and CSS and whatever else is needed to make it an actual usable website. It gets more technical than that, of course, but that's the basics of it.
What does the growth potential for this job look like?
Well, it's not going to get any smaller, that's for sure. As far as growth, I don't see the growth slowing down really at all, because it's only going to become more of a commonplace thing as more people go to, you know, living their entire lives online, so to speak. Everything, if you don't have a website, you don't exist for a lot of people. So yeah, the growth is limitless, really.
What kind of changes do you think are on the horizon for the future growth of being a web developer?
Well, as much as I hate to say it, I think you're going to see the computer side of it kind of go away, and it's just going to become more mobile only or tablet only, or, you know, you're not going to be sitting at a keyboard or, you know, at a desk or any of that kind of thing when you access any particular website. It's all going to be done on your phone or on a tablet or whatever device comes next. Your glasses or, you know, directly into your brain or something crazy like that.
So I know you do freelance work for this. Does that mean that you can work your own hours and at your own house? Or do you go to an office?
My office is in the basement of my house. My commute, I like to say I have the world's shortest commute. It's literally 10 seconds downstairs. It's kind of a good thing and a bad thing, because some days I just never leave my office, so to speak. But I do tend to keep normal-ish hours that I'm in the office and, you know, available to fix problems or do whatever needs to be done, simply because if I don't, I will sit at my keyboard for 18 hours. And, you know, before I realize it, you know, everybody else is in bed and I'm the only one awake.
So what does a typical day for you look like, since you have your own hours and stuff?
Well, it depends on if I have an active project. If I have an active project, pretty much I have, you know, my coffee and, you know, check my email and do that kind of thing. And then I come down and I log into my computer and I fire up my text editor and my browsers and do whatever needs to be done that day. Typically, I don't have like, okay, I have a block of 8 hours that I know I'm going to be working. Typically, I'll work for a couple of hours and then I'll take a break and get up and walk away, mainly because I can, but mainly so that I just don't get to the point where I'm so bogged down that I can't see straight and I'm losing what I'm doing and I just can't concentrate anymore. So it's a little bit of laziness, I'll admit, but it's also just, you can't just do this and stare at code for 8 hours and hope to accomplish anything major. There have been days where I have done that, and at the end of it, it's just like you're just so brain dead that all you want to do is stare at nothing, because the thought of watching TV, it's another screen, and that's the last thing you want in front of your face.
Oh, the joys of being a freelancer. You have basically your own hours.
There is that. It was good after our son was born, because, you know, I could pretty much just say, you know what, I'm not going to be able to get anything done today because he needs me, and we didn't have to worry about daycare or babysitters or any of that kind of thing because I was there.
If you could start all over, would you change careers? If so, why?
Depends on the day. Some days it's like, I don't want to do this anymore. But for the most part, no, I don't think I would. I've done the hardware side of technology too. And of the two, I much prefer software, because at the end of the day, if something's not working, you can basically just throw that file away and start over, and you really haven't lost anything. Whereas with hardware, if you get a bad part, then yeah, it's just you replace that part, but then you have to wait for that new part to show up. If it's not something you can just go out and buy. But no, I don't, given the chance to start over, I don't think I would. I think I would just, I would not take the detour into the hardware side that I did and just do all this kind of stuff. So.
How could a high schooler become someone like you?
It's actually not that hard these days. When I started in the early 90s, it was a lot harder. You really had to know that this is what you wanted to do. But now there's so many resources available that are just free. And you can start with nothing except whatever computer you happen to have in front of you, really. You don't need to have a server. You don't need to have anything other than the ability to edit text files, really. It's a fairly easy to get into, and it kind of gives you a lot of leeway as far as, do you want to stay doing the website, or do you want to get into application development? Do you want to get into back-end development? There's a lot of ways you can go, and pretty much there's no barriers to entry like there used to be. So I think it would be really easy for somebody to just decide, oh, this is what I want to do, and just step into it.
Yeah, like now everyone is doing school on computers or doing something online. And I feel like now there's things like Skillshare where you can learn how to make bread or make a website or do anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's just easy.
And like I said, when I started doing this in the early 90s, the world was completely different, and it was not nearly as easy to get started, because there were no easy tutorials or anything. You pretty much just had to, you know, you paid a little bit to get the basics, and then you just kind of trial and error your way through to figure out how to do the other things. And it was nothing compared to what it is today.
Well, speaking of technology, how has new technologies changed the way that you've worked in web development?
Really, for what I do, the technology changes don't really affect it. Because at the end of the day, with the exception of mobile, I hate developing for mobile, because everybody does it a little differently. If you don't know exactly how a particular mobile platform works, you just kind of have to make guesses and wait for somebody to say, oh, well, this doesn't work this way. So I have a lot of like old phones sitting around, and people think I'm a pack rat. And to a certain extent, I am. But most of these phones I have around just for strictly for testing purposes. That's really the only technological change that's really affected what I do. Because at the end of the day, all I'm doing is writing code in a text editor and then looking at what the browser shows me. Browsers on the desktop are solved at this point. There's no changes there that make any real difference to what I do. So like I said, when it comes to mobile, that's where the headaches come from.
Why would a teen want to think about this job for the future?
If, you know, they decide that building for the web is what they want to do, then that would be the biggest thing. Cause I mean, it's not, yeah, you can just say, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll try this and that's fine. But while it's easy to get into, there are certain hurdles that you're not going to want to tackle if you're just doing it as a hobby. So you really have to know that this is what you want to dedicate yourself towards. But like I said earlier, it's kind of a stepping stone to other things, because a lot of what you learn developing for the front end can be applied to developing for the back end of, say, an application that runs on the phone. As far as why they would want to, it's a fairly easy job. It doesn't take a lot of learning to get into it. So it's not like you got to say, oh, well, if I want to do this, I got to spend X number of years in school after high school or any of that kind of thing. And these days, a lot of web development firms, they don't even want people with degrees because they don't really teach you in school what you need to do this job. They teach you kind of everything but what you're actually going to be doing. And it's just, you're learning all of this stuff, and yes, it's good to know, but it's not going to help you once you get to that job and you're sitting behind a keyboard every day doing this job.
Thanks for letting me interview you. I have definitely learned a lot about being a web developer.
Awesome.
From web page builds for major organizations to smaller websites like the Gracie Meets podcast, web developers are tasked with making sure a company's online image is presented in the most professional way possible. Companies rely on these developers to get their digital first impression to the masses. No normal person could dig through tens of thousands of lines of code to find one misplaced piece of data. But then again, show me a normal teenager. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. If you like Gracie Meets, subscribe so you can listen every time a new episode is dropped. And follow Gracie Meets on Instagram @gracie.meets. Tune in next Saturday for a heartfelt interview with a mail carrier.